Protect me with his club in the first portion of the day, and may Govindu, who's always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayan, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day, and may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. Purport. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, day and night are each divided into 30 ghatikas, 24 minutes, instead of 12 hours. Generally, each day and each night is divided into six parts, consisting of five ghatikas. In each of these six portions of the day and night, the Lord may be addressed for protection according to different names. Lord Kesava, the proprietor of the holy places of Mathura, is the Lord of the first portion of the day. And Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, is the master of the second portion. Om Jnana Pimarandasya Jnana Sarasaya Satchurunitamina Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Mahaprasam Stapitamena Bhute Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swaparantika Vandriyam Sri Guru Sri Yudhapada Kamaram Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahamayam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Sravadutam Puritanam Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Sakam Vitam Stra He Krishna Pavina Chandra He Amando Jagat Prate Rupesha Pumita Ananta Radha Kanta Namasude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rade Vrindavaneshwari Vishwamitra Devi Pramani Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Yupita Ipas iuvirtam, patronam palio ex regna. Si Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Si Advaita Vyadana, Si Vasudhi Gaura Bhavinda, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. The Vedic culture is a very refined culture based on very intricate knowledge about how about the workings of the entire universe and its relation of it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in so many forms and so many expansions. So here we are reading how the early part of the day is under the control of Lord Kesava, then the second part of the day under the control of Lord Govinda from Vrindavan, the third part of the day, Lord Narayan, the fourth part, Lord Vishnu. And in this way, we can just see how Krishna is present everywhere, in every detail. At the same time, we can also see how extensive Vedic culture is and how little knowledge we have of such things. And it brings to my mind, at least, the metaphor Srila Prabhupada gave, where he said, the Vedic culture is a very refined culture which gradually reforms all the living beings within that culture, and it is, especially human beings, I must say, and it is like compared to a goldsmith who with a very fine hammer is trying to shape an ornament. So very refined work. It's that way as the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is like the sledgehammer of the blacksmith who in just one big blow, boof, reforms the living being. So in that way, sometimes when we look upon these refined descriptions of Vedic culture and Vedic understanding in Srimad Bhagavatam, then we realize that we are far lacking in knowledge, but we just take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, of chanting Hare Krishna. And therefore that's generally what we do on any occasion. We chant Hare Krishna. We worship Lord Govinda, the Lord of Vrindavan, at any time of the day. Because ultimately he is the original presiding deity of everything that manifests. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasaram kavartate iti mata bhajante mam buddhavava samanvitaha. That Krishna is the origin of everything in the spiritual worlds, in the material worlds. Everything is emanating from him. And the wise who know this perfectly, they worship him with love. So that is the essence. Not to worship the Lord for getting this support, that support, because that is really worshiping the Lord from the material perspective, from the perspective of asking blessings for our material existence. Oh my Lord, I worship you in the hope that everything in the material world will go very smoothly. But the devotees of Vrindavan, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are not interested in the material world per se. They're only interested in how much they can engage the material energy in the service of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada summed that up as making the best use of a bad bargain. Considering that the material body is a bad bargain, that we are very limited. Now, all our perception has become limited through the senses, and with it, we become extremely limited. Still, there is something which is known as extrasensory perception. that we just can go beyond the what we perceive with the gross senses. When someone is looking at us, we feel it. I forgot where it was, but someone said, "Boy, this big camera at me has felt something." And looked. There it was, the evil eye of the camera. What to do? But Krishna, Krishna is unlimited. Krishna's sensory perception is not limited in any means, and even the functions of Krishna's senses are interchangeable. If Krishna so desires, he can see with his hands, he can hear with his eyes, he can do all these things. His senses are not limited by any means, and he's not limited to a particular sense for perception. Nor is the soul limited in that way. Only in the body is the soul limited in that way. But on the spiritual plane, within the spiritual body, the soul is not unlimitedly powerful. But the soul is not limited by these very limited material senses. And the spiritual world functions very different from the material world. Yamuna Acharya is stating that in the material realm, everything is limited by space, time, and thought. So space, the three dimensions are there. Time, all right, there is sequence of time and also limitation of time. In time, there are the Sat Avikar, the six transformations. Everything comes into being. Everything grows for a while. Everything then comes to its full state of growth and begins to flourish. It gives off some byproducts. It dwindles and it ceases to exist. And that is material life. Bring the most delicious dish into the house and leave it there for 1 month, and you need a gas mask to sort of carry it out. Call the fire brigade. Everything decays in the material world. So therefore, we are not asking blessings for material life. We are not asking for that kind of protection. We are not asking for protection for material existence. We are simply asking for one type of protection, that we may not deviate from devotional service. Somehow or other, Krishna, please protect my devotional service. That is really our prayer. Kindly never kick me away, even although I make so many mistakes, even although I have so many impure thoughts, even although I am so attached to wanting everything my way, instead of just accepting that it is your way, your plan, and that it's perfect. But no, every time when things happen, I lament, I complain, I rebel, I get upset, I get angry with Krishna. Right? Why are you doing this to me? Right? Because you deserve it. You need it. Because it is designed for you, for your rectification. It is perfectly planned. It is just a response to the intricate false ego that is now manifesting through our mind, and Krishna is giving us the answer, and we say, no, I don't want it, I will not accept it, no. But it is mercy, it is mercy. We see how when there is prasadam, nice prasadam, we get a little excited, prasadam, oh yes, nice. Good prasada, yes. But we see that the residents of Vrindavan. They see everything of prasada. One, like prasada. Everything is prasada. Not only what they eat, but they see all the circumstances. It's prasada. It is all Krishna's mercy. I once did a study on mercy and then found different words for mercy. One was kripa, another word was daya, another word was anukampa. And kripa is often, or daya, let's start with daya. Daya is generally used like a mercy that Krishna is just spreading everywhere and is available to all. Daya. The daya, flooding the entire world with mercy. Kripa, not always, sometimes also used in the general sense, and even, but other times it's used in the personal sense, quite often. Kripa. Oh yes, I want kripa. I want mercy for me. Sometimes daya is also used, these words are mixed, but we see that kripa seems to more often have a personal touch. And then anukampam, tatenukampam, susamiksamano, bhujane, vatmakripam, vipakam, vitvak, vapuryuvidara, namaste, yamuktipade, sa dayama. That one has to earn the mercy. Sadaya bhak, one becomes the rightful heir to the mercy after one has tolerated. So one has to do something to earn them. One tolerates all the material discomforts, seeing that Krishna is behind, and one who is doing so, he is the rightful heir to the Lord who gives liberation, Mukunda. Muktipade, at the lotus feet of Mukunda. Etamsa astaya, there is a sannyas mantra which was chanted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he took sannyas, and that mantra is Etamsa astaya paratmanistam ajasitam purvatanirvahanvi ahantarjami yugantaparam tamomukundam vinisevayareva. And that basically is Tamo Mukundangri. Mukundangri Angri means the lotus feet. So Nisevayeva, always engaged in the service, Nisevayeva, in the personal service of those lotus feet. In that way, Tamo, in that way, Tamas or ignorance is transcended and one rise above. And in that way, Mukunda is giving us liberation. So, etamsa staya paratmanistam, one must always be firmly fixed, paratmanistam, in that mood from, I am going to render devotional service. Not that we are attached to any particular type of service, per se. I'll do only one service. I've been educated to be a pujari, and now that's all I'll ever do, or whatever. And that we become specialists. No, that's the spiritual. That's the material world where people specialize. But in spiritual life, there is that that mantra, which is surrender, Prabhu. And you get caught in all kinds of situations. We hear stories that at least in earlier days, and it's still a little bit like that, they would ask you, can you cook? You're like, no idea, never cooked in my life. Don't worry, it's easy, you can do it. And next year in the kitchen, making the khichdi and sort of got some quick instructions and there you go. And 1 week later, you are the head of the kitchen. Right? And don't worry, because Krishna will empower you. Krishna will empower you. And in this way, one winds up in the craziest situations. I came to New York one time and I had just landed and I arrived in the temple. And just then, the GBC came out of his room and looks around, and he sees me and says, "Can you drive?" Yeah, I didn't know. I can, so I didn't want to say no. I said, "Yes." He says, "Oh, great, we've got a driver." I had slept the whole night because I'd been flying. Anyway, I was the driver. And we went around the corner, and there was a car, and it was not exactly a car. I thought I was going to drive a car, but I was going to drive a truck. I don't have a license for a truck, but it was too late. I was driving the truck, and it was a big yellow truck with a flat bed on the back and a Hari Nam party on the back. And I was supposed to drive this truck through New York, you know, with a devotee to tell me the way who was a non-driver. So a non-driver, he tells you, and now you turn right. You know, he doesn't tell you, you know, start pulling over to the right and then you turn right. No, now you turn right. So I cut 7 lanes of traffic, which is dangerous in New York. They shoot you for less. And he all the time told me, drive really slow. So cars were honking behind me. It was terrible. Oh, God. And I was sweating because I didn't have a license. I think if the cops stop me, I'm in real trouble. Anyway, and suddenly, 7 police cars from all sides, police cars came. They thought, I'm finished. But they didn't come for me. They went onto the sidewalk, and there was a small black boy who had maybe taken something from a shop, and 7 police cars were on top of him. Poor kid. Anyway, I was glad that it was him and not me. I must admit, I escaped. So, crazy situations sometimes in the course of surrender. Anything we do in the service of Krishna, we are tested in the service of Krishna. We are asked to do things that we would have never done. And in that way, we grow. So Krishna consciousness, people in the world sometimes think that we become more and more narrow, and that we limit ourselves, and that is just we put on blinds, Hare and Krishna, and become more and more narrow. But in a sense, many aspects of our personality become developed. Mind you, we could become narrow-minded. We can become narrow-minded when we think that no one has anything to offer except the devotees, that no one has any good qualities. In the verse Trinadapi Sunichinata Rodi Srisana Marnihana Nami Nakitanya Sadhari, the humility verse and the tolerance verse, at the end there is the line that one must be ready to offer respects to all others. So how far does this go? All others. Obviously, it doesn't stop at the devotees. Obviously, everyone must be given credit for whatever, wherever credit is due. Even animals are to be treated with respect, and all human beings are to be treated with respect. And that's something, at least, it never was like that. In the past, we had the meat-eating, carny-demon concept. And maybe we're coming back from it. That doesn't mean that we have to idealize the materialist. We can still understand that the materialist may have many good qualities and that we can appreciate, but that at the same time, and we can learn from the good qualities, but that doesn't mean that the person is not captured by Maya, that he's not in the grip of Maya. And therefore, yajasti bhagavati akinchana sarir kunais tata saman sati sara harava bhaktasyo kuto mahatkuna manovati nisatatavatubhi, that one may have all good qualities, but if one is not engaged in devotional service, then one will ride on the manorat, on the chariot of the mind, and one will go astray, and one will lose all the good qualities. Whereas one who is engaged in devotional service, he will eventually develop all good qualities. Now let me see if I can remember this verse. Krishna Bhakta Gan, Krishna Bhakta Gun Sarvamahagan. Krishna Bhakta, Krishna Kripa Shakala Sanchari. The devotees, it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they gradually develop all the good qualities of Krishna. And that's really very nice. So this is our meditation. Krishna, Krishna in the spiritual world. We're understanding what is more important is the eternal world, not the temporary world. So we're worshipping Krishna in the eternal world. And we are doing that by engaging the material activities in the service of Krishna and the material elements in the service of Krishna. And then we get gradually all the good qualities of Krishna. In a sense, it's understandable that a servant develops the quality of the master, because whatever is important for the master becomes important for the service, for the servant. And then the servant starts to act according to that quality. So, you know, serving that quality. So gradually that quality then also manifests in him. It's quite understandable. So, Sarva Mahagunagan, Vaishnava Sarira, all the good qualities, they are manifesting, all the good qualities of Krishna, they manifest in the Vaishnava. So therefore, gradually we begin to appreciate that. And not just special Vaishnavas, not just in Srila Prabhupada, where it is very obvious. Like, wherever Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, that became like the center of the planet, at least for the devotees. That's where the devotees' attention was. It didn't matter whether he was in a big city or in some village somewhere, some insignificant place. That place became very important. Prabhupada was there. So, just like Krishna, and Prabhupada transformed places just by being there. I like to tell my experience in Tompkins Square Park. I went to Tompkins Square Park to visit the tree, and there's a sign on the tree, Hare Krishna tree, and next to the tree there's a bigger board which explains this is the tree where the founder of the Hare Krishna movement began chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in public, and from there it spread all over the world. And so, you know, I am from the Netherlands, and Holland is a kind of very Protestant country, mostly. And therefore they say, just act normal, that is crazy enough, right, in Dutch, you know. So I've sort of been brought up that, I heard it like 20 times a day, you know. Just act normal, that's crazy enough. So whenever I do something like hugging a tree, I become totally self-conscious, you know, I feel like, you know. So I saw in Vrindavan all these devotees hugging trees. I lived there for years, but I never hugged a tree. I couldn't get myself to do it. But then I was in Tompkins Square Park, and I said to myself, come on, you know, this is Prabhupada's tree, you know. Come on, hug it, you know. So I hugged the tree, and I stood under that tree, hugging it, and kind of asking for spiritual strength to preach. Okay, I finish my hug, I turn around and open my eyes, and there's a boy. He's standing there and he says, what do I have to do to become a monk like you? It's a desire tree, I tell you. That tree in Tompkins Square Park, it's a desire tree. Right? Prabhupada transformed that tree, made it into a desire tree. I mean, my story is the proof. Just see, right? So, Prabhupada is of course such a devotee. All Krishna's good qualities are clearly visible within him. But what about the other ones, the ones that we are living with, you know, in the ashram? Well, what about that? Now, even they have some good quality. Everyone is unique in that way. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Ajamil Prabhu, did a very nice service by doing an extensive categorization of Prabhupada's letters and publishing that in three books called the Prabhupada's Shikshamrita. And this Shikshamrita is very nice. Then you can, because by topic, Srila Prabhupada's letters are characterized, and you can look. So when you look at Spiritual Master in that book, you'll find an interesting point. And namely, you find the point where Srila Prabhupada writes in a letter that actually, I don't have any disciples, but Krishna sent me many spiritual masters. And Prabhupada is continuing on this point, that all the devotees are his spiritual masters. But you know, is he just saying this for the, you know, like, I mean, he can't be really feeling like this, because I mean, he's the spiritual master of the three worlds. So how can he see all these devotees as his spiritual masters? But if you think about it, everyone is unique. Everyone is unique. And everyone has a unique way in which they are serving Krishna. See, everyone can do something. Somebody can make nice sweets for Krishna. Somebody can just, you know, for someone it's just Vrtanga, you know, it's like day and night. Vrtanga, Vrtanga, Vrtanga. What's your name? Vrtanga. You know, what's going on? Vrtanga, Vrtanga. And if you talk to them, the best you get out of them is tira guitar, and like, you know, gay, gay, gay. And it's just, that's it, Madanga Das, what's his name? You know, everybody knows. Oh, Madanga, yeah. So, just so totally surrender to that. And everyone has a unique type of surrender. There's a photographer, like, you know, who I saw, like, risking his life in Serbia recently, hanging out of the window. He didn't even notice that I saw, like, well, just 1 inch more and he's going to crash down. But he didn't notice it. And Krishna saved him right there and then, and he got the shot of Lord Jagannath. And then he walks around carrying a heavy backpack, God knows how many kilos, smuggling it every time on the plane, you know, where you're only allowed 8 kilos. How many austerities one has to perform for the cameraman, right? So many things like that. Every devotee has his own unique surrender. I mean, I have a camera, but then too much trouble. I gave up on the thing, you know, and there's so many things. Where do you keep all the lenses and everything? My God, you know, it's like, this is too much, you know. So, forget it, you know, just click with the phone, that's as far as it goes, right? And then phones, you know, phones are again things, you know, I can't surrender to a phone, no way. My phone is always on silent, yay. So, but there are people who religiously answer every call. So everyone is a devotee in a unique way. Everyone serves in a unique way. And in that way, we can actually learn from everyone. Everyone is our spiritual master. Right? Even the new devotee is our spiritual master. Quite some years ago, I was in the Netherlands, and I was on the way to a program in Rotterdam. And as far as I'm concerned, Rotterdam, most of Rotterdam, is a terrible city, because in the World War they bombed it flat. Right? You know, it got really bombed because it's a big port, and so everybody was bombing it. The Germans bombed it, the English bombed it, They bombed, the Canadians bombed it, the Americans bombed it, it got bombed. So, and then after the Second World War, when it was rebuilt over many years, it was kind of the time in the Netherlands that people started smoking certain substances, and the architects, they definitely did when they built Rotterdam. It's terrible. It's terrible. A landmark in the center of the city in Rotterdam are some buildings that are cubes, you know, can you believe it? Just cubes, right? Oh, we have that everywhere. No, no, not like in Rotterdam. In Rotterdam, they took the cubes, right, and they put them on their point. The architect definitely smoked a few too many, and probably had paperweights in the form of a cube, and then he goes, we put it on the point. We all know. They stand there in Rotterdam as the pride of the city. So once, during some Sankirtan activity, I was invited inside. And next to me inside, there are windows that look down and windows that look up to the sky, because it's on the point. It's insane. So anyway, we're in Rotterdam, and we had to go catch a bus. So we're standing at the bus, me and a new doctor, and sure enough, a junkie comes. Hey man, you can do good. So I kind of send him away. And then the new doctor, you know, he called him back. And he called him back. I go, oh no. And then the new doctor, he says, I got something for you. And then, it was evening, he pulls out a little piece of apple from breakfast. Right? A little piece of an apple from breakfast, totally brown, right? And he says to the junkie, open your mouth. And the junkie, I don't know if the junkie was surprised or what, but and he did open his mouth, you know. And the bucket had a great determination, popped that apple into his mouth. And with that, gave him human birth. As Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who takes prasad gets human birth. And that bhakti is my spiritual master. Because I didn't have that vision, you know, that to save a piece of apple from breakfast and, you know, save it for the junkie. I never thought of that. So in that way, one can say, and this we can advertise, 2 weeks of bhakti yoga, and you can already give a human birth in the next life. See the power. It's very powerful. So anyway, the Vaishnavas. Ultimately, it's about the Vaishnavas. We need the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And it's not that we are in competition with the Vaishnavas. Oh, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the greatest Vaishnava of all? No, it's not that. It's that we depend on the blessings of the Vaishnavas. So somehow or other, we want that the Vaishnavas think good about us. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. In Vrindavan, where I saw many years, when we observed the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, many Vaishnavas from Vrindavan, they come. Many of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers come, and other Vaishnavas from Vrindavan come, all to glorify Prabhupada. And that was the day that we received everyone as our guest, and that everyone came to glorify Prabhupada. So one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, would come every year. And I remember from the earlier years, he would speak about Srila Prabhupada and some pastimes, what they used to do together and so on. But over the years, he's getting older and older, and it was getting more and more difficult for him to walk. And I remember that he was carried by 4 brahmacharis. They carried him and they sort of, you know, dropped him on the Vyasasan. And they just didn't put him down nicely, but it's India, you know, just dropped the head. He landed on the cushion and I looked and I thought, oh my God, it's heavy to get old. And then he began to speak. And he spoke very short. Basically he said, Swamiji, made all of you Vaishnavas. So just with those simple words, he gave credit. He gave credit to what Prabhupada did. You know, Prabhupada went out preaching, made all these devotees, and he also gave credit to all the devotees that you are actually Vaishnavas. You know, so, which sometimes in Gaudiya Math they didn't so much appreciate the Western devotees, so he gave full appreciation. Swamiji made all of you Vaishnavas. And then he said, and the Vaishnavas, he said, the Vaishnavas, they are very powerful. He said, because the Vaishnavas, they carry blessings. When the Vaishnavas so desire, they can just bless anyone. He says, therefore, all of you kindly, please bless me. And that was it, you know. And I thought that was powerful. I mean, that was very powerful. And, you know, I never forgot that. Now I started thinking about it, and I was thinking, yes, when you get old, and when you get older, and, you know, death is coming closer and closer, and can happen any day. Of course, it can happen to anyone any day, but when you're older, it's sort of, it's going to come. Right? Then you realize, actually, the service I have done was very meager. I didn't glorify it for it, but I know, and Krishna knows. Krishna knows very well that what I have done was not very much. And now the question is, will it be enough? And therefore, when we get older, we begin to realize, I need all the blessings I can get, because when I'm judged on the service that I have done, I might not make it. But then, if I have all the blessings of all the devotees, then, you know, Krishna is inclined towards his devotees. Mukti nadati bhakti na karichit. Devotees have purchased Krishna by their service. They hold him in their hand. So, when all the devotees are asking, please, please take him back to Godhead, how can Krishna say no? Therefore, a Vaishnava at the end of his life will be inclined to say, please bless me. But why would we wait? We'd be late till we're 90. We may never get 90 to 90. We may never make it till 30. When I was 5 years old, I had taught myself how to read. I had not yet gone to school, but I had learned how to read. And my father took me to a cemetery where my grandfather's grave was. He had just departed. And my father cleaned the grave and put some flowers on the grave. And to be honest, you know, that grandfather had never been very nice to me. So I didn't really like him that much. And I had no feelings at all for him. Nothing at that time. But that visit to the cemetery shocked me. Why did it shock me? Because I read on some of the tombstones that even kids who had been born after me had died. And I just realized, oh my God, I can die any moment. And then I thought about that. You know, when I just came back from the cemetery, I can die any moment. Therefore, at any point in time, it may be wise to ask all the Vaishnavas for their blessings. Or instead of just asking, act in such a way that the Vaishnavas all think positively about us. It's difficult. Tell me all about it. Is it difficult? So far, I haven't been really that successful at it, you know. Now that I'm remembering my childhood, I tell you a little fairy tale since I'm like 5 years old, you know. My mother used to tell a fairy tale, I don't know exactly where she got it, but it was about two princesses. And one princess, when she opened her mouth, roses would come out. And the other princess, when she opened her mouth, frogs would come out. Now, since I have become a devotee, I'm trying for the for the roses, right? But every once in a while, this frog jumps out. And then the thing bounces around the room in all its ugliness, and what am I going to do? I can't put it back in my mouth again. I can't take it back. So, it's not so easy. So therefore, to treat the Vaishnavas as the best persons, as the greatest persons, that is our, that is what we ought to do at all times, so that they will shower us with blessings. Because we need them. Because if it depends on our service and our surrender, I don't know if it will be enough. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments? Yes. Can you speak loud? Can I satisfy all the Vaishnavas? Maybe you can, I cannot. I cannot. But I can try. Ich kann es probieren. I can try. And when I try, at least, you know, that's all that counts, really, that we try. You know. And ultimately, that will melt the Vaishnavas also. Vaishnavas are soft-hearted. They also see kind of, he's trying so hard. You know, sometimes a bit rough, but he's really trying. Vaishnavas can see, oh, he's really trying. You know, so, they get a lot of mercy, for sure. So then we have to stop trying. But it is difficult. I know. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not in the mood. Well, then we should preach to ourselves, you know. I mean, I'm foolish when I'm in the wrong mood. Sometimes I feel like this person, you know, why would I serve this person? Yeah. Also this one. As loud as possible, I'm deaf for anything.
You said everyone serves in a unique way.
Yes.
I was trying to understand that actually it's the attitude of service that makes the service.
Yes.
So, applying to... How does this work apply to a person that don't have a service attitude?
Yeah, well, Srila Prabhupada speaks about fanning the spark. You know, and that one must find the spark in someone. So when we preach Krishna consciousness, we find total materialism. But there is some bhakti in that person. Because bhakti is a natural quality, natural to all living beings. Devotion is naturally there, you know, to do something nicely. So we have to just find it. You see so many times how people in their job go beyond the call of duty. You know what I mean? They do really a very nice job. I see them, I fly a lot. I see sometimes these stewardesses, they are such good servants, you know? Really. They really try to serve because that's their mood, right? They try to serve all the passengers. Passengers are irritable, you know? Because they haven't slept properly, and the time, and the long flight, and how much longer is it going to take? Are we almost there? Even adults, you know, they still have mood. Are we almost there? So then the stewardess comes in, just a little longer, but there's here's a nice snack for you, you know. Would you like, what would you like? So you see bhakti there. You can see some. You see it in people, a spark, and that we have to fan. So it's there. That service attitude, you find it everywhere. Even a selfish wretch, we have to just find it somewhere. Where is the service attitude? You know, sometimes really dig deep, but then you find, now I This is a fan as well.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your lecture. You said in the beginning that the living entities are limited by space and time, and then you also said something
by space, time, and thought.
And thought. That was very interesting. Could you please help me understand more how we are limited by our thought?
Yeah. Yamuna Acharya, who was from South India, limited by thought means that we cannot, through our thinking, ever capture Krishna. It's not possible. Right? We cannot capture the truth. One can think and think and think. And some of these philosophers, you know, we're studying some philosophers, and some of these philosophers are amazing thinkers, because on their own, they came up with ideas that are really close. You know, you look at Kant, you know, brilliant kind of person. It's not for no reason that he's a famous philosopher, because what he on his own came up with is impressive. But, yeah, he didn't get it. He didn't get the Supreme Personality of God yet. But then you have philosophers who are personalists. Yeah? After Kant came Jacobi, who was like the leader of the most predominant personalist, and he just fully understood, you know, where Kant went wrong and how he missed the whole idea of that God was a person. But, you know, God is blue, and that he didn't get. Blackish blue, playing a flute, three-bed form, nails of like mothers of pearl, lotus eyes, lotus navel, lotus feet, lotus palms, lotus mouth. Nah, you didn't get all that. It's not possible. So we are so limited by thought. But the spiritual world is not at all limited by thought, because it's operating on mercy. It's just everything is ras and mercy. It's that's the relationship. So it's Krishna revealing himself in reciprocation with the service, and then anything becomes possible. Then thought had nothing to do with it. It's just mercy. Krishna is captured by the service. So everyone is no longer limited by thought in the spiritual world, as we are limited here. Not limited by time, not limited by space. Krishna, did you ever go on Parikrama in Vrindavan? We drive, you know, in the morning, the jeep is there, and you drive, and you go to Varsana, and then to some of the villages of Asasaki, and you know, and then you drive back to Vrindavan, and you're finished. You know, you're just totally finished. And Krishna, he wasn't driving, he was walking. How could he do all that? Because Krishna walked for a while, and then he was already there. And all the places on the way were there. But it just didn't take so long as it takes for us. Because no time, the influence of time is not working in the same way. The space is not working in the same way. Because it all manifests, all based on desire. All based on desire. Everything. The service comes because of desire. And Krishna manifests because of desire, and he becomes captured by desire. So space and thought, nothing to do with it. Space, time, and thought, nothing to do with it. Desire. Everything operates on desire. Desire to please Krishna. And Krishna's desire to please the devotee. Thank you. Yes.
Everybody has a unique way of serving the devotees and serving Krishna. If the devotees think our service should be like cooking, like you say, like to be in charge of the kitchen, but we feel that we have something different to offer, is it better to offer something that we feel that we can do really well, or is it better to be surrendered and just try to do what the devotees want?
In the beginning, it all starts with doing just what we're told, very much so. And then over time, you know, some service we know how to do well, and that service we naturally like. You know, if you can cook really nice and everyone is like, ah, oh, that was amazing, that's nicer than when you've cooked and everyone goes, like, we're going to the restaurant today. Then after a while you feel, well, I'm not cooking anymore. Right? So it's naturally that, you know, we like to, the things that we like to do, what we're good at. So we'll excel in that, and sooner or later the devotees will recognize us for that. And so then the service will naturally come towards us. You know? It's like I was in the winter from 79 to 80 is when Radhadish opened. So in the early, the deities were upstairs in the room, which is now the guest room for the ladies. And I was just coming back from India. My former wife, she wasn't well, and we stayed here for some time. I became a pujari. And, you know, I fell asleep during the last aarti, and I dropped the ghee lamp, and I got fired. you know what to say. Then they tried me out as a gurukul teacher, and I had to take the kids into the forest. And I got lost with the kids in the forest. Oh, it was terrible. It was really terrible. I was in the forest, and the kids go, it was winter also, and the kid goes, are we going home? I said, yeah, yeah, we're on the way home. Yeah. Is it far? No, it's not far. We're not going on the dangerous hill, because they knew there was a hill where hunters sometimes would go. No, no, we're not going on the dangerous hill. Are you sure? Yeah. Then which direction is it? They knew we were lost. Which direction is it? And I go, that way. Okay. And then we went that way, and then we came to water. And then they looked at me and we are lost. I said, no, it's that way. You know, this is shorter. This is shorter. So the water wasn't very deep, it was knee deep. I carried like a dozen kids across the water. And I walked up, God, like winter, you know, frozen feet and everything. Anyway, I walked. At about 9 o'clock at night, we came out of the forest and we came to this house. And I speak French, you know, so I rang the doorbell and I said, au secours, which means help! And I explained I was lost with all these kids. The man was nice. He had a station wagon. We put all the 12 kids in the back, somehow or other, and he brought me to Radhadish. The next day I got fired. So, you know, little by little, there was less and less service opportunities that remained for me. Yeah. But eventually I found something to do, you know. And I went back to India, and then in India I realized I'm really not particularly good at anything. You know, I can't do anything right. Therefore, my service became to tell other people what to do. Yeah. So, because actually that's how I grew up. It's somehow or other, in my family, if you had to hang a painting, I knew how to hang a painting. Yeah? You just take the phone, you call the guy who hangs the painting. So I never touched a drill until I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I can't drill a hole straight. What can I do? You know? So therefore all I can do, I'm good for nothing. Therefore all I can do is tell other people what to do. And what to do. Yeah. Okay, we end now because we've used up the time. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.